Praise the Lord. It's already like a whole sermon if we were careful what we sang. And I thought of Brother Branham's statement when he said, there are many ways of healing. And he also literally said that healing comes through love. You know, the love of God works wonders. And it does us good. And he wants to pass it on through us. God has no other way on earth to pass on what he has prepared than through his own. Who should he use for this? Who should it be? And as we have sung here, where God's love fills the hearts, there peace and joy come. For where selfishness, there one has no more hard words, for otherwise love stands still. Whatever else one can say to it, may God grant it, that it will be in our lives as He would have it. That it's not just words, but that the thing itself is there. We have seen it often enough, heard it, perhaps in ourselves, that we experienced that the things we talk about and think we have are not always there. And when they are not there, God wants to give them. We should not go empty-handed. We should be given gifts by the living God. And we know that God is many things, but in essence, He is love. He sometimes has to be strict for the sake of His law, but His nature is not law. His nature is love. God is love. And when we understand that and know that He wants to pour out that love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then all will be well when it happens. And it is very close to my heart, while we are listening to so many of Brother Branham's sermons, that we become aware of the thing that God requires of us. It's certainly the case that it's not just meant to be a visual lesson, but God sets a table before us. Maybe sometimes even in the presence of our enemies. But enmity is only where the enemy is. Friendship is where the friend is. And so we need to recognize that God is on our side and He has removed enmity. He brought peace. And whoever has the peace of God can pass it on. Those who do not have it are not able to be at peace. You can try as hard as you want. One cannot. Somewhere it will be lacking. But if the peace of God can rule our hearts and minds, not only hearts, even what is up here, not only what is here, the heart sometimes speaks differently from what is up here. But if both are in the heart and in the mind, that we seek peace and follow it at all costs, even if we die in the process, it doesn't matter. The Lord will help. And I had to think of a word that Abraham said, but I think today we will have a prayer meeting, not a Bible study, unless there are questions. And I also have to say that the concerns of the people who just keep writing now are touching my heart more and more. And people expect us not just to pray about it superficially here at the end of a Bible study. They expected to be a prayer meeting in which we really bring these concerns wholeheartedly before the throne of God. And I think they have a right that we seriously take our time and really bring these individual concerns before the face of God from the heart. And that in faith, because there are so many requests, and when we hear them all, then we forget our own pain and our own hardship and all that concerns us. Then we care about what troubles others, what others cannot cope with. And when we think of our Lord, He never complained, but He always had time for others. And in that, I and all of us can learn very much from Him. He never said to a single person, "Listen, they have done this to me now," nothing at all. He was always there with a full, open heart for the need of others. He did not seem to have any need at all. Whether he was beaten, spat at, whatever happened, he did not open his mouth. But he had time for others. Maybe we just stand up for prayer, and then we read something, and then we pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight through your precious and holy word. Lord, we are not here to speak one to another. We are here so that you can speak to all of us. And we, each one of us, want to talk to you. Give us connection to you, fellowship with you and with each other. Faithful Lord, take away everything that stands in your way. We ourselves come under your cross with all that we are and have, with our whole life, after spirit, soul and body. Take us, O Lord, wash us in your precious blood and be merciful to us for your holy name's sake. Amen. Amen. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. One of Abraham in Genesis 15 from verse 12. Here it says, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him." And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." We don't read further, only this one thought. "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him." It was after the Lord had spoken to him, when the Lord God said, "I am the Lord, who sent thee forth out of Ur into Chaldea, to give thee this land to possess." We know the conversation that Abram had with the Lord, and the Lord with him, then the sacrifice of the animals, the goat, the ram, the turtle doves, and so on. And then suddenly, there came a deep darkness. A fear came over him. For whatever reason, it doesn't say here, but something happened to him at that moment, when it became dark, that he became very afraid. Not in relation to what God had said, but perhaps fearful in his heart about himself, and yet knowing in his heart God will make all things well. Of the same Abraham we read in Romans 4 that he believed God and that he did not stagger through unbelief. Romans chapter 4 from verse 18, the word known to all of us. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What glorious thoughts and statements about this man of God, about the father of faith, who also had to admit at a certain hour that fear and anxiety had come over him when the darkness set in. But at the same time, it is testified that he did not stagger through unbelief, but carried the promise of God within himself and lived in the firm conviction that God is also able to realize what he has promised. The same can only be with us as the seed of Abraham. Even if fear comes upon us, and we know that the day of grace has come to its end, and the sun is not high in the sky, we all know that. And the evening time is here, we know that too. And we are approaching the midnight hour, we know that too. And if at such times fear comes upon us, then it is not for the first time, and perhaps not for the last time either. But God has put the promises in our hearts, just as he did with Abraham, and we live in the conviction that he will make them real and bring them to pass. We cannot explain how, neither could Abraham. And it says here quite soberly, he noticed the deadness of his body, but did not spend time with it. He knew that he could not do anything by himself. He was dependent on God, even in his body. He could do nothing. He could not fulfill the promise by himself. If he had been able to fulfill it, it would have been easy for him. If God had spoken today, he would have fulfilled it tomorrow and would have thanked the Lord for it. He was dependent on God. His time would have been straight away, but God's time came a little later. And so, we too must be patient. If we could fulfill the promises of God in this time, I wouldn't go to bed at all. I would stay awake, and I would be willing to stay up every night this year if I could help fulfill and realize the promises of God. But we can't make them come true. God will realize them in his time through you and through me. but we will not stagger through unbelief. We hold fast to the promise of God that He has made to us, and we live in the firm conviction that God is faithful and that He keeps His word and that He will fulfill it and bring to pass all the promises that He has made. When you read this here in Genesis, that fear came upon him and deep darkness, then we understand that all the men of God and all the children of God have gone through ups and downs, through trials that they had to go through, but they were bearers of the divine promises. God left an eternally valid testimony through them, despite human weaknesses and infirmities. We all know that these traces cannot be erased. Whether it was an Abraham, a Moses, all these men of God left traces of blessing for all the blessed of the Lord. And we can find them from beginning to end. Then there is a word of Paul here in Romans 8. Somehow it also came to my mind in this context. Although it doesn't quite deal with the subject at the moment, it is well known to all of us. It says here in Romans 8 from verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Usually we stop here at this sentence and we say, "We know that to those who love God, all things work together for good." But this sentence does not stop here. This is only half of the sentence. Namely, to them who are the called according to His purpose or His predestination. One must not stop with half the sentence. For there are many who say that they love God and that God loves them and that all things are for their good. And then there is still the question of whether that is so. But if we take this whole thought into ourselves, that those who love God, who have been called according to His predestination, that is the secret. It must all have been for our good in the end. There is no other way. The enemy may think that he is doing great harm. It is not possible at all to the elect. He is mistaken. It cannot be. The elect who have been ordained according to God's predestination to behold His glory are not here to be disappointed or to be put to shame, but for God to glorify Himself in them. Sometimes the ways are strange and we would not understand them, and yet God glorifies Himself in many a way. It says, "But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." This is the mystery, and this belongs to it. If we believe that God has chosen us according to His eternal purpose, and that we are not only on earth to be here, but are destined for heaven to behold the glory of God, then we cannot but lift up our heads anew in every situation. And if we cannot lift up our heads, then perhaps we can still open one eye and know, in spite of all fear, in spite of all that may be, that we can look up to Him who can let a bright light shine in the midst of the deepest darkness. and he will certainly not leave us alone. A familiar word, just quickly for prayer, from the letter of John, I think it is. John, 1 John, chapter 3, here it says, from verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. These two are quite wonderful and precious thoughts. Here it says that we convince our heart before God. Sometimes we have to convince ourselves. If we don't let God convince us, it literally says here, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things, knows all things, knew all things, and will know all things. And then it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. This confidence may God grant to me and to us. The first step is to convince or persuade our hearts in his presence that God is greater than that which would hold us back, that God is greater than all obstacles, greater than anything that might oppose us. That is the first step. The second then is, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If we have prayer requests here, some of which are very, very difficult, and we want to come before the throne of God, then we certainly have to take these two steps, that we first convince our heart that God is really above everything and that he is greater than our heart or what moves us, and that he can snatch us out of everything and place us blamelessly before the face of his glory. And that only happens when we look up to the cross of Calvary, where he made good our harm, and know that forgiveness, that grace, that salvation and blessing is ready for us. And the second step is that we then have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask for, we receive from him. That is a powerful word. Have we experienced that? Have we tested it? Has this word been confirmed in my life and in yours? We simply have to come slowly, perhaps even quickly, to the point where we look each word of God clearly in the eye and ask ourselves the question, Lord, how about it now? Can I lean on your word? Can I come to you and count on the fact that what you have promised will now be fulfilled? It says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, He that abideth in me and my words abide in him may ask what he will, and it shall be done unto him. And here it says, if we abide in him and keep his commandments, and then two of these commandments are listed, the one that we believe in him and the other that we love one another. It's basically not that difficult, but God demands it of us. And it is written that all the commandments and all the law have found fulfillment in one commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as thyself. Everything is contained in this, and God will certainly put his blessing on it. When we will pray now, let us be sure that God is giving us an opportunity to speak to him by faith, to expect what we present to him. Not that we just come and talk to the Lord, but that we fervently expect him to give what we pray for. And for that, prayers are also sometimes necessary. I would like to point out here that perhaps we should come to the point as quickly as possible in our prayers and then let our neighbor pray, unless the Spirit of God sets in and someone is led by the Spirit of God in prayer in a special way. Then we don't want to set any limits. Then we all want to join in. But this we will all notice then. So we want, if a special anointing does not come upon us, and the Spirit does not intercede, as it also says in Romans 8, that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and so forth. If this does not happen, please let us not lose ourselves as individuals in long prayers, especially on Wednesday evenings. Let us all pray. Let everyone pray. Everybody who is here comes here to hear God's word. Everyone who is here comes here to worship. We don't come here just to sing. We don't just come here to hear the word. We come here to speak to God. And I tell you honestly, if one person drags out in prayer for a long time, everyone else loses their desire to pray. It's like a damper. It's like the brake is put on. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God works and intercession sets in, and you realize it's not just a prayer, but it's a supplication, then we all want to tune in. We don't want to put any limits on the Spirit of God or give any rules. But as far as I and you are concerned, let us briefly bring our requests to God, and then the next, and the next, and the next, so that we all have an opportunity to make our requests known to God in this place, and the requests of those who write to us, who rely on being prayed for. Tonight, if I am to count the letters, maybe about 15, these people are waiting tonight for God to answer them. They are relying on us to pray. And these are not all the requests yet. There are others that we also want to bring to the Lord. And these requests God will answer. He will answer. He will bless if we come before Him in the way that is right for Him. And that is by not quarreling with ourselves and with others, but convincing our hearts before God that He is the Lord, our reconciliation, our forgiveness, and that the blood flowed on Calvary and has the same power today to wash whiter than the snow. And we can truly come before the face of our God in complete conviction of faith, and whomever it is upon his heart, when we pray here for the brethren who serve with the word, let us also remember that God wants to give out authority as in the beginning. It must become a matter of heart to us, unless we come to an inner need and say, Lord, as at the beginning, give power to your servants, confirm your word, give them boldness to bring the word, and give them authority to act on the word, so that the name of the Lord may be truly glorified and the word confirmed. We cannot go on like this much longer. We must and we may believe that God will testify, that He will confirm His word, fulfill His promises, and that He will baptize with the Holy Spirit, that He will distribute, and especially to the ministering brethren. For this we all know, when the brethren who minister the word are blessed by God, we are all blessed, all from the first to the last. All who hear the word of the Lord will then be blessed. And we indeed place our hope entirely in our Lord and know He can also bless tonight from the riches of His grace. He can equip with power from on high and can reveal Himself and also answer the prayers and help these people, healing them, deliver them, bless them. Whatever God may put on the heart of the individual, don't worry. We will all not listen very carefully. We will all seek connection with God. We are not talking to each other. We are talking to God. And God will hear us all at the same time, while one or the other prays aloud. Let us all pray quietly and seek fellowship with God, so that the Spirit of God may work by grace. Amen.